Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Trouble in the church. The devil will see to it that there is always plenty of trouble in the church. It comes in two types, so to speak. One that stems from doctrinal error, and the other from myriad conflicts between and among people, as the conflict between Paul and Barnabas, of which we just heard. Error can be sincere and well-intentioned, even while deadly. Acts 15 gives us the first missionary journey of Paul and Barnabas into southern Asia Minor. And upon returning, they report to the young church at Antioch, Syria, their base. Then Judaizing Christians come down from Judea, men of the party of the Pharisees, we are told. They come to advocate circumcision. Not only should it be practiced, they say, but it must be practiced whether you are of Jewish descent or a convert from among the Gentiles. You cannot be saved unless you are circumcised. As Paul later wrote to the Galatians, this was nothing less than another gospel. After a huge dissension and much debate, Paul and Barnabas were appointed to go up to Jerusalem and consult the apostles and elders about the question. A very serious business. That was one kind of trouble, a trouble of doctrine. But we heard about another kind of trouble, this one caused by human frailty and vanity. It is actually embarrassing that no sooner had the circumcision issue been settled than a dispute arises between Paul and Barnabas over, of all things, whether to take along John Mark with them on their planned second journey to Galatia. Acts 13 tells how John, surnamed Mark, had turned back and left them during the first missionary journey. Barnabas, for reasons we'll not go into now, had a soft spot in his heart for John Mark. But Paul judged that he had shown himself to be unreliable and didn't want to take him along again. Both men had strong opinions, and it became a great dissension that was finally resolved only when they agreed to part company and go their separate ways. Barnabas to Cyprus, and Paul with Silas to Asia Minor. The church has never been without conflict of both kinds. The hymn that we sang recognizes it. No conflict of the church, though, can take away one jot or tittle from the truth of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Much as scoffers would like to throw the conflicts of the church into the face of the church and say, that destroys everything you have to say. The certainty of our Christian hope is still there. Even in recounting the events of chapter 15, St. Luke tells us that the church in Antioch wrote a letter and with it sent a delegation consisting of Barnabas and Paul, whom they characterized as men having risked their lives for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. That wasn't an overstatement. During the first missionary journey, you will recall the Jews opposed Paul and Barnabas from the very beginning. They followed them to Lystra from Antioch, the Pisidian Antioch in southern Asia Minor, and then from Iconium. And when they got to Lystra, it got so bad that they stoned Paul and left him for dead. Paul was not a revolutionary advocating the violent overthrow of the government. He labored and suffered for the sake of Christ, with whom we are buried in baptism unto death, he would write in Romans 6. It was, I say, for the sake of Christ that Paul suffered stoning, beatings, shipwreck, and the like. No holy writer has set forth the saving gospel more clearly than Paul in his numerous epistles. By grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We ourselves are daily comforted with this same gospel. Paul also set before the church for its faith and life the place of preaching, the place of holy baptism, the place of the Lord's Supper, and many other articles. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, he wrote to the Romans. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. All that the holy apostle had to endure at the hands of wicked men, and also the troubles that he brought about by his own weakness, did not diminish the beauty of the gospel that he preached. We need to remember this in the midst of today's trouble in the church. As a final point, let us examine how these saints of God strove to reflect the mind of Christ in their dealing with one another. Did the Judaizing advocates of circumcision have saving faith? Though God will be the judge of that, such error must not ever be allowed a place in the church. Why? There is only one Christ and only one salvation. Error invariably seeks to make room for two ways of salvation: the way of Christ and the way of works. That's the common denominator of all error. Christ came to fulfill the law. There is neither Jew nor Greek. Peter explained it so powerfully, for Christ had explained it to him in person when he saw in a vision at Joppa that God had removed the Mosaic distinctions between Jew and Gentile. God made no distinction between us and them, Peter said in his speech at the conference in Jerusalem. What God has cleansed, call thou not that unclean, God had told him. It was a humble spirit that the church of Antioch brought to the church at Jerusalem as they sent men up to discuss these matters. And finally, it was James who proposed the solution. Don't impose circumcision on the Gentiles, but charge them in the interest of not scandalizing the Jewish believers to abstain from eating meat sacrificed to idols, from sexual impurity, from what has been strangled, and from blood. These are to be done in love, with a gentle spirit, not to offend the Jewish believers who had grown up and knew only all these prohibitions. There is always a great contest between trouble in the church and peace in the church. The unfortunate personal conflict of Paul and Barnabas also was dealt with in such a way that the gospel was not hindered. A model for us all. Unlike the other conflict, it was not a doctrinal matter, but still it had the potential of hindering and destroying the gospel. Therefore, it would admit of a God-pleasing solution that simply involved the two going their separate ways. Behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell together in unity, the psalmist had said. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.